Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
It's time for the BAQA, the BAQA, what you say? The BAQA with Mandy, the BAQA with Tiffany, the BAQA. Hey, Mandra.
Hi, gorgeous.
Your curls aren't popping, but this hair is everything.
The curls are laid.
Thank you. First of all, Mandy has, think of Rudy Huxtable and then multiply that times four.
Aw.
Right? That used to be my goal as a little girl. I'm like, if I could just get Rudy Huxtable hair.
The hair, right? Not the looks.
No, I think, Rudy Huxtable is beautiful. Keisha Knight Napoleon?
No, I know, but like, do I look like her?
Oh, no. I'm talking about the hair, because you know, you have this big, beautiful head of hair.
Yeah.
And she always, as a little girl, had like this beautiful head of natural hair. Yes. And I was like jelly of all that beautiful hair. And
so you're giving. As I was,
yeah,
too.
But Keisha Knight Napoleon is drop dead gorgeous. She was a cute, Rudy was the cutest, and then she's a beautiful woman.
Thank you.
You know, but yes, her hair was always like goals for me, because, you know, they always tell little black girls that like your hair can't grow long. And meanwhile, here was Rudy with her natural head of super long, beautiful, like textured hair, which I'm like, that's not true, because Rudy's hair is to the middle of her back and she's a black girl. And so
the middle of the back was the ultimate flex.
Girl.
My hair is to the middle of my back. I'm not that. It doesn't matter. I'm not that. Yeah. But thank you.
No, but yeah, it just looks really cute because you don't really straighten it out. And I was like, look at me.
It's February. So you will see the blowouts more often because this is the 1 month a year when the dew point is low enough for me to mess with it, because it takes so much time, like energy, to protect it from humidity.
Like, but anyway, I won't say who, but one of my sisters has like a beautiful wig that's the texture. And I'm always like, yes, slay.
I'm like, I should get a wig, honestly.
No, girl, no.
No, but they were so much, when you just don't feel like, it's like putting on a hat with hair on it. Like, come on now.
But first of all, I feel like your hair is going to be like, if you don't get this thing off me, Mandy, you have too much hair. It's going to look like a helmet. Like, your hair is so thick.
Really micro cornrows to get that done.
You get them straight backs.
That's all right. The grass is always green. I'll take it.
So,
recording a podcast. Hi.
Yes. Anyway. Right. So, you know, every Friday, we do Brown Ambition question and answers. If you have questions, we have some answers. Here's the thing, caveat of the caveats. We're not your financial advisor, your financial planner. We're not your attorney, your doctor. We're just two really smart, super cute brown girls on the interwebs who know a thing or two about career, business, and money, honey. And so we can give some advice with the smallest of the smallest grains of salt, but you're going to lean into the people that you pay to get, like, you know, to stretch that grain of salt and to make it work for you. Okay, deal. So we usually do two questions. And so I think we should do a quick one first.
It's money week. I'm excited.
Yeah. You want me to read Monica's question off IG?
Yes, because I can't find it.
Well, also, too, the best place to ask questions is to slide into our DMs on IG,
which is
Brown Ambition Podcast. So Momo, a.k.a. Monica, says, is borrowing money from your 401k a smart move to pay off the debts?
Ooh. Well, when you read this question to me, actually, I said, my response was like, I would have a very different answer to this, like 5-10 years ago, when everything was so black and white financially. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you, but my response probably like 5-10 years ago would have been like, oh no, that's silly. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul, and Paul is you in the future. Wait, no, Peter is, you're the one getting robbed. Mm-hmm. The Bible is great. You in the future is who you're screwing over. But, you know, like, my feeling now is, yeah, if it makes sense, like if it's a 401k loan that is, you know, zero interest and you pay yourself back through your paycheck, That can be an option. I feel like it's better than a, you know, better than, you know, what other option would there be to pay down debt if not for,
well, there's like balance earning more money, cards, right? Balance transfer cards, potentially
more credit debt. If you have issues with that, I'm not. Yeah.
How do you feel? Depends, I guess, to your point, Mandy, like what kind of debt are we talking about? Like an installment loan, talking about credit card debt. But if you're talking about credit card debt, there are balance transfer cards. I mean, but that really only works if your credit score is decent.
And then you still got to pay it down. You still have the debt. It's just that now, hopefully, you have a 0% intro APR for 10, 12 months or whatever.
Yes.
To pay it down.
There's also like a, you know, a loan from a financial institution, ideally like a credit union, where the interest rate is not as high as like a loan from like a big bank. Mm-hmm. So that's an option. But to your point that it's still borrowing money, it's basically about where you're going to borrow from. Now, here is the caveat, the thing before the thing before the thing. That any of these options, whether it's borrowing money from a credit union, borrowing money from your 401k, like doing a home equity line of credit out of your home if you own a home, that these institutions pay people that are really smart with math called actuaries. And actuaries, their job is to do math on math on math on math to see how much money that they're likely to get from you if you make certain choices, right? So actuaries, this is how they get like, if you can get life insurance, they're like, nah, you 80, child. You're not likely to be here long. Life insurance policy, deny, because we're not going to get our money back from you. But an actuary is going to look at, you know, the likelihood of the bank making more money than not when it comes to helping you with your debt. So know that basically they're betting against you. You know, like when people are like, oh, I'm going to get a balance transfer card. I'm like, that other card, you don't want to have transferred all your money to this card. And now you have two cards and you run up the old card that you've paid off in the balance transfer. And now you owe two people. And so, but that's honestly what financial institutions are betting on, that you, it's still going to be same old you navigating your finances in that way. And so to Mandy's point that like, it's not necessarily a terrible idea to borrow from your 401k.
Wait, does
be a loan.
Go ahead. Real quick, because I don't have the question in front of me. I can't find it. But it, is it a, is he asking to just take money out? Because there's a big difference we should talk about between.
Okay, so it says borrow money from your 401k.
Okay, yeah. Because so, taking a chunk out, we don't like that.
No.
With no intent of putting it back in. Mm-mm. Plus there's taxes, early penalty withdrawals, you know.
But if you don't pay it back, this is what I'm meaning. Is that like there is the potential for not paying it back. And then that's when you fall into trouble. I used to see it all the time. When I worked as a preschool teacher, I would say there, a week didn't go by that a teacher was not telling me she was borrowing money from her 401k. And I remember my dad would be like, don't forget, you have until basically the end of the year, you have to pay it back. But they would be borrowing and borrowing and borrowing. And then it all of a sudden is not a borrow, it's a withdrawal. And now all of a sudden you pay taxes and penalties on that. And so I just say all that to say that like, that is the aim because they make money off the penalties. And so just be mindful that like, if you're going to borrow, are you someone who has the means and the discipline to actually pay it back? If not, there might be a better way to navigate versus taking from your 401k.
And I'll add to that just quickly, when you take a loan from your 401k and it's with through your employer's 401k and you're actively employed, you can take a loan out and just you'll pay it back on your paycheck each month. And it all happens automatically and you pay yourself. Even when my husband, we took a loan out from his government version of a 401k, which is a TSP. When we were doing the home reno and I think we needed something more and we just ran out of cash. So he did a loan. It was maybe like 10K. And you actually pay interest back to yourself too. So it worked out in that sense. But the caveat there is that if you lose your job, if you're fired or you walk away, then that loan can become due very quickly. And you may not have the cash to pay it back. So yeah, there's pros and cons to everything, but I think
you
that's gross.
Out on compounding interest, you know, like, you know, that 10,000, you know, I mean, you guys put it into the house. So, you know, there's this return there. But if you're using it to pay down debt, potentially it's like, oh, that 10,000, what could it have grown to if it had been left there? But these are the things you have to weigh, because if the debt you owe has 30%, like a 30% interest rate, child, you're not making that in the market, not likely. So it might make more sense to be like, it's better the best raise I can give myself is, you know, getting rid of this debt that's costing me so much money.
And to our, we had a guest this week called Vivian Tu, Your Rich BFF, and what she said about, you know, how you can only save what you can save, but you can always earn more money. Yes. And I think your ability to earn more money should factor into that too. Are you someone who has more working years? Are you, you know, coming up on promotions, like really achieving more and looking for more in the future? And in that case, maybe it's something that you'll make up for in the future, but only you can know that.
Yeah.
You sit with yourself.
Yeah. So it's not the worst thing, but you know, child, if you're going to do it smart.
Do it smart. Yes. And don't come to us crying if it doesn't work out, because again,
where's
that grain of salt?
A little grain of salt.
We just say whatever we want.
You want to take a break, Mandy, and come on back?
I do. Oh, shit. Yes. Let's take a quick break. I took a sip of my smoothie and now I have like blueberry kale teeth. That's we'll special. For watching on YouTube. What a treat. All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost worked there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
And we're back and black and brighter than ever. All right. So our second question of the week, man, you got it? Or you want me to do it?
Oh, I would love to read. Wait, 128, 128, right?
I think so.
It's bright flaming green. Here we go. All right. Hey, ladies, from Erica on IG. I have received an inheritance of over $200,000 and I can't decide. I know, is this Supergirl in the future? Like, just getting a windfall? I have received an inheritance of over $200,000 and can't decide what to do with the money. I have been debating on paying my home off. I owe $154,000 or purchasing an investment property. Please help. I just don't want to make the wrong choice. I feel like this is my only opportunity to build and generate wealth for my family. Thanks in advance.
Ew.
Very sorry for your loss. However,
yes. I know.
So, 200K. Okay. Come on.
Coin. So, one, y'all know I bought my condo cash, which was not the smartest financial choice, but it was the smartest Tiffany choice because of where I was and whatever. So, but to me, the smarter financial choice, unless your interest rate on your home is astronomical, which, you know, the likelihood is I'm assuming you bought your home if you owe 154 because homes are so expensive now, you probably bought it, you know,
the 70s.
Yeah. Or maybe before interest rates hit like 7%. I don't know where they are now, but maybe you got it when they were, when it was 2%, 3%, even 5%. Mm-hmm. That being said, paying off your home, that's great, but that money's literally just sitting there. It's almost like paying off your home is like the equivalent of like having your money in a savings account with like, you know, a low interest bearing savings account, which, okay.
With no FDIC insurance to back it up. Maybe you have home insurance, I guess, but still.
Yes, you know, but like actually putting your money to work. And so I'm saying this as someone who didn't do that. I'm not mad about myself not doing it because I did it consciously for other reasons. Emotionally, I need to be in a place where I didn't have to worry about a mortgage, but later I am likely to pull money out and then put it to work. But at least for now, you know, like for the smarter financial choice, which is what you're asking about, like actually investing your money. And if the second choice is to purchase an investment property, that is, you're going to make more money. You're more likely to make more money with that choice. You know, looking for an investment property, multifamily house, you know, even like commercial property, something that's going to generate some income for you. I don't know where you live, but yeah, that is going to be the more income, the more likely option for generating like income and wealth for yourself. Because then there's a cycle, right? So say you purchase this next property, it's a three family house. I'm just making it up. You put down, you know, whatever, the 200,000 or 150 or whatever, depending when you purchase the property, you know, you're starting to pay down the mortgage with the rent that you're getting. And then the property potentially appreciates. It doesn't happen everywhere, but say you live in New Jersey, we've been appreciating over and over and over. That property is now worth more. Now you've had $400,000 inside that home that you can now pull out some of it to purchase the next property. And so like, that is one of the ways that people start to grow a real estate portfolio by like leveraging the equity in one home, pulling it out, and then purchasing the next piece of property. That was the plan for Jarrell and I before he passed away. We had gotten a house from the city of Newark, paid $10,000 for it, renovated it for about $130,000. The house is then worth almost $300,000. We were going to pull money out of that house, rent out that house, pull money out, and then buy the next property. And do it again and again until, you know, until it was time for him to retire. And hopefully would have had maybe four or five homes by then that he could then manage. And that would be his income in retirement. And so, you know, I think it's a great idea. But, you know, you just be mindful, like, you know, you want to be a landlord because that ain't easy. You know, although there are companies that can help you manage. So I would do all my research before jumping out the window about what it looks like to manage a property and like what those costs look like.
In the meantime, put it to work just in an investment account. I mean, I know that there's, you know, I'm not your financial planner, but I think first piece of advice, what we forgot, just get a financial, like an investment advisor. I think if you plan on like investing the money or putting it into a, you know, an index fund or whatever way so that it can at least be cooking and, you know, creating returns for you. I mean, dividends, have we talked about that? If we talk about like an investment property, you can like physically think of a tenant giving you a check with money each month. But stocks can do that too if you invest into dividend stocks. And then dividends are literally just money that the companies pay you for investing in their stock, like a thanks for sticking with us type thing. And I love to look at my dividends that I've earned and be like, oh, hey, we made extra money that I didn't even put in. Almost like an employer match, but they're not matching, but they're giving you a little something, something. Anyway, I think investment property or paying off your house are two big options, but they're not the only one. So there's nothing wrong with, like, Tiff, if you decide like you're not ready to be a landlord, doesn't fit your lifestyle right now, just put that money to work and you can invest it, and then invest it wisely. That's why I'm saying get an advisor, because they can help you make sure that you're not too risky with it if you plan on using it. Or they may say, hey, if you're going to use it on an investment property, let's put half into a high yield savings account that you can easily get to and put the other half in the market, etc. But $200K sounds like so much money, but it could, like, if you really want it to last, like, you know, provide for your family, it's going to have to be invested in some way, form, or fashion. So congratulations. Yeah. With great money comes great responsibility.
But I'm so glad you're thinking about it. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm
asking us.
Would have blown through it. You know, this would have been like, girl, you know, you buy a car and a, you know, little wardrobe, and before you know it, you're like, damn, I'm back where I was before, you know? So, you know, one of the things they tell you when you win the lottery is don't do anything with the money for the first 6 months. Do what Mandy said, right? You know, put it somewhere, you know, because it's under 250, it's protected in a savings account, high yield, sit with a financial advisor, create the plan, and then be like, okay, now I feel fairly confident that I can move forward, you know, that I'm not just jumping out the window. So congratulations twice for Erica for getting that inheritance, but then also really being strategic about how you want to spend it. So
thank you, BA fam, for your questions. Hit us up. We're at Brown Ambition Podcast on Instagram. Send us all your questions, and we hope to see y'all next week for another episode of Brown Ambition Q&A.
Yeah, and for this episode and the one before and the one before and the one before. Okay. Stop trying to keep it to yourself.
Oh, forward it. Okay, forward. Yeah. Send it to a friend. Send it to a friend, to a friend. Bye.
Bye.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.